John Embry, the Precious Metals Portfolio Management Specialist since 63. And recovering from a early winter season illness, so we're lucky to have him here today. Welcome back, John Embry.
Well, it's great to chat with you, Chris, as always. Well, you know, I think we're in one of these positions, Chris, that, I mean, if these things ever get ahead of steam, they're just not going to be stopped. I mean, I think they're either going to be held down like they have been for a long time, or they're going to explode. The problem with their exploding from the view of the powers that be is that the whole monetary policy will be revealed for the utter fraud it is. And interest rates would rise appreciably. So you can understand why they're being relentlessly held down. And I think the true story is being told by the cryptocurrencies, which, as you know, have exploded in price and are telling you what the real fate of fiat currency is. And that is, it's going to be destroyed before this is over.
Yeah, it's interesting you should mention that. Max Keiser brought up that he thinks, you know, some of the cryptocurrencies could actually help to liberate gold from this price suppression schemes, because whether or not you really buy the whole suppression thesis or not, it certainly doesn't look good on paper, what we've seen with the exchanges. And as transparency returns to the markets and opacity starts to dissipate, do you agree with some folks that cryptos as maybe a model for what might happen in the coming months and years ahead for gold and silver?
I mean, I think the cryptos have told the true story over the last several years, and now they're in, as you know, an explosive stage. I'm always a little nervous when things move as fast as this, but nevertheless, I think I would, if I were sort of managing somebody's money, I would be moving my crypto, some of my crypto profits over into gold and silver. The real tale on silver is the most interesting. And that is that it is probably trading well below what it costs to dig out of the ground by a pure silver producer. It's a product which is used, two-thirds of it is used in really important applications. It's ridiculous that it's trading at, you know, less than a third of the price it was trading at 6 years ago. And at the same time, somebody is short well over a year's production. The whole thing just doesn't pass the smell test at all. And I think the silver story is the one, the most explosive in the world today. But, you know, it's funny. Like, as you know, they've always said silver's poor man's gold. And, I mean, gold has had its own struggles. But I'm well aware of wealthy people globally that are accumulating gold surreptitiously. They're not making a big issue about it. Whereas silver is poor man's gold. And basically, the average guy in America is basically looking at cryptocurrencies and an explosive stock market and what have you. And basically, silver's fallen off the radar, which and so you got the perfect thing. It's extraordinarily underpriced, and the sentiment is terrible. And this is generally the precursor to a big move.
A couple other interesting metrics I just actually read last night. Firstly, and I think this is not really talked about even in the precious metal circles by the gold and silver crowds, although silver is clearly at least obviously the most abundant of the two precious metals, the available investment grade silver is actually half that of gold. Of course, we have to be really careful when using fundamentals to determine price, but I think when you add in here, there's several major constraints here on supply, virtually giving it away, less of it for investment purposes above ground than there is gold available, at least currently, at current prices and stockpiles.
If money wanted to get exposure in silver, they couldn't do it. There just isn't enough.
But if I had a piggy bank filled with silver today, I wouldn't be as quick during a price rise to sell that silver or trade it in for dollars, whereas some of these digital currencies, which we're actually a big fan of here, are so easily spent electronically. It's not easy to electronically spend your precious metals. They have a tendency to stick around in people's safes.
I think they're going to, but as I said earlier, the major impediment is the powers that be know that if gold and silver prices were to explode, it would unmask the entire, you know, monetary policy globally as being just grossly inflationary. And in fact, that it hasn't shown up dramatically in everyday goods. It's all going into financial assets. And I mean, bonds are ludicrously overpriced. They're historically extremely overpriced. Real estate in attractive areas possibly aspire to a house at these levels. And I mean, so it's all being reflected. And yet, so far, they've been able to keep interest rates down. And as I said, I'm shocked that people actually would hold bonds, particularly some of the lesser quality bonds that are going to default anyways, at the lousy interest rates they're being given. Chinese and the Russians and what have you, they are, you know, very quietly accumulating massive quantities of gold, particularly the Chinese, and they're lying through their teeth about how much they have. And I think there will be a time when gold is reintroduced into the system, not by North Americans or the Western world, but by the Eastern world that has basically accumulated all this gold.
So you expect that shift from the West to the East to continue?
No question. And as soon as they can't get any more at these bargain prices, then I think there's a very strong probability the price will be marked up.
It kind of leads to the next question. You talked about paper assets. Obviously, there's a huge sea, an ocean between tangible assets. They certainly seem relatively undervalued.
They're actually staggeringly undervalued. I mean, gold and silver and platinum, I should throw platinum in there. It's equally as abused, but they're extraordinarily inexpensive. And then you can sort of look at the flip side of tangible assets. How about art? How about that Da Vinci, which is a terrible painting, selling for $450 million?
Right. I believe a Saudi Arabian prince purchased for nearly $500 million, a Da Vinci. I mean,
billion, and it's sort of a depiction of some aspect of Christianity.
I can't think of a better individual from history, you know, to own a piece of artwork other than Da Vinci. I mean, what a remarkable individual. I mean, the true Renaissance man. John Embry, just great to hear your thoughts today. And if you could please tell our listeners a bit more about Sprott Asset Management and any other contact information.
We're sort of a two-headed company now. We're now Sprott Inc., and we're doing primarily, you know, precious metals-related business. And sort of the money management side has been effectively sold. And we manage gold funds and gold, you know, what have you. So, I mean, if you're interested in that subject, get in touch with Sprott.
All right, John Embry, I want to wish you happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas to you and your family.
And same to you, Chris, and we'll talk to you in the new year.